One of the famous taglines from the comedy team, the Smothers Brothers, was, "Mother always loved you best or liked you best." And if you look at the album cover here, you may see why. One of the brothers seemed to have all the good stuff, all the toys, all the preferential treatment from Mom. Now we know this is just a comedy bit for them. We hope that Mom didn't treat one better than the other. That could bring a lot of resentment or hard feelings if indeed this were the case. In fact, you could just ask the brothers of Joseph about that. When they saw their father Isaac favor Joseph over the other brothers, giving him the coat of many colors, a lot of discord came from that, showing favoritism. James begins the second chapter of his letter with a warning of the problems associated with favoritism, or partiality, as some translations put it. James says in verse 1, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Now, what exactly is favoritism or partiality? It's the practice of giving preferential treatment to one person or group, or giving respect or privilege to one person or group over another person or group. As we will see in James chapter 2, this is something that we often do. We often do, but it's something that God does not do, and God does not want us to do. So, who do we show favoritism toward? James will give us one example of favoritism in this opening chapter, the privileging of the rich over the poor. But the list should not be limited to that one category. Truth be told, any form of favoritism or partiality is wrong in the eyes of God, and therefore no form of favoritism really belongs in the church. Well, before we look at that specific example given to us by James, let's consider other forms of favoritism that we sometimes are guilty of. What about racial favoritism? Do we prefer one racial group over another? Do we in any way treat one racial group differently than we treat people from another racial group? What about someone's job or their education? Do we form judgments in our minds about people who've attained a certain level of formal education, or someone who holds a particular job or is in a particular profession? And then we treat that person differently than we treat other people. What about appearance? Physical appearance. How tall someone is. How much hair they have. What kind of clothes they wear. What about fame, notoriety? If we see someone famous, a celebrity, someone who's been on TV, someone who's well known in the community, do we show favoritism toward that person? You know, the list could go on and on and on. Here's another one that's especially a problem within the church. Do we treat those who are the big givers in the church differently than we treat those who don't give as much? If we do, it's another form of favoritism. The point is very simple. Do we privilege or honor or favor one group or one person over another group or another person? If we do, that's a problem. That's a problem. In fact, in verse 9, James calls it a sin. Why is it a sin? Because this really is not consistent with the holiness of God. It's not something that God does. It's not something that He wants us to be doing. Remember when we looked at James chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we looked at this theme of rich and poor. These are the words of James in John chapter 1, verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. Now, when we dealt with that particular passage a few weeks ago, we said that all people, rich and poor, were created in the image of God. That's our high position. We also learned that all people, rich and poor, have this fallen human nature. All people are sinners before God. James is telling the rich to remember that they're also sinners before God, and he's telling the poor to remember that they bear the image of God. In essence, both the rich and the poor are equal before God. One should not have any better or more preferential treatment than the other. And if we're all equal before God, we need to treat each other as equals before God. That's the theme here in James chapter 2. Here's another interesting feature about wealth and poverty that we can glean from James chapter 1 and 2. Both wealth and poverty are only temporal. Think about the rich man. He has great wealth. He enjoys his great wealth. He lives a life of leisure and ease. Why? Because he's rich. He's rich. But when will that life end? It ends when he passes from his earthly life to eternal life. There's no rich people in heaven. There's only rich people here on earth. And the same is true for the poor man. Here in this life, here on earth, the poor man suffers under his poverty. He doesn't have the same pleasures and the same possessions as the rich man. However, that too will end when the poor man passes from this earthly life into eternal life. There are no poor people in heaven. There's only poor people on earth. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that we make distinctions between rich people and poor people, treating one group better than the other, when the state of rich and poor only exists while we live out our short lives here on earth? Remember, James says that all of our lives will be as the short life of a wildflower. It will soon be scorched by the sun. When we're living in one of those many rooms in the heavenly mansion that Jesus promised that he would prepare for us, are we really going to care about the station in life that our neighbors had while here on earth? Will you really care that the guy who lived two houses down on that golden street was a rich man here on earth? Will we really care that the neighbor across the street was a poor man here on this earth? No, it's not important. It's not important to God. It should not be important to us. In heaven, there will be no rich people and no poor people. Wealth and poverty are only temporal conditions here on earth. Think about that. The next time you are about to privilege a rich man or look down upon a poor man, wealth and poverty are temporal conditions here for this short life on earth. James tells us, do not show favoritism. God doesn't show favoritism. Jesus did not show favoritism, we should not show favoritism. Let's look briefly at God and then look at Jesus as models for us. First, God. We read in the scriptures that God does not show favoritism in two main areas. Two main areas. First, God does not show favoritism in his judgment. In his judgment. That was the point that Paul is trying to make in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, that all men stand equally under the judgment of God. All men fall short of God's glory, and therefore all men are equal under the judgment of God. God's no respecter of persons, but judges each one of us based on the condition of our soul. In Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, Paul starts off to show that the Gentile people were subject to God's wrath because of their wickedness. I can imagine the Jewish listener or the Jewish reader of that book of the Bible, the book of Romans, as he read through that, secretly thought to himself, amen, that's right. Those Gentiles should get what they have coming to them. See, the Jewish reader often thought to himself, you know, God loves me best. I'm sure glad I'm not a Gentile. But then Paul goes on in his argument there, and he talks about how judgment also is extended to the Jewish people. In fact, we read that the judgment for the Jewish people will actually be even a stricter judgment. Why? Because they've been given so much. The law, the prophets, all made it very clear to the Jewish reader what God expected to him. And so Paul then goes on and concludes this section with these words. I'm reading now from Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And then verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. So God does not show favoritism in judgment. He also does not show favoritism in mercy. In mercy. This idea comes out very clearly in the story of Peter and Cornelius found in Acts chapter 10. If you remember that story, when we first see Peter there in the book of Acts, he did have favoritism in his heart. He still held to that idea that God likes the Jewish people most of all, and God privileges the Jewish people over the Gentile people when it comes to salvation. He had reservations. He had a hesitancy to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. However, God changed his mind in a vision he received in the city of Joppa. Remember that vision? We've talked about it earlier when we were looking at the book of Acts. Peter saw this sheet coming down from heaven with all these unclean animals and a voice from heaven that said, take and eat. Peter was a little concerned because those are unclean animals. God goes on to reveal to him and to call to him to preach the gospel in the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. So Peter goes from that house in Joppa to the house of Cornelius. And then while Peter is sharing with this audience the message of Jesus, God pours out his Holy Spirit upon the Gentile audience there in the very same way that he had done in Acts chapter 2 with the Jewish audience. And after Peter witnessed this event in the house of Cornelius, he declared, and now I'm reading from Acts chapter 10, verse 35, Peter says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Or as this slide translates that same phrase, God is no respecter of persons, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So God does not show favoritism. He doesn't show favoritism in his judgment. He does not show favoritism in his mercy. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? When Jesus walked this earth in his earthly ministry, I'm not going to share all the verses and the stories, but just think with me for a moment. We see Jesus interacting with all kinds of people during his earthly ministry. He talked with the rich and powerful people, such as Nicodemus. He talked with the poor and rejected people, like the woman he met at the well. He showed love and compassion toward the good sisters of Lazarus. He showed the same love and compassion toward a woman who was caught in adultery. And what about the cross? Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he showed compassion for a criminal. How many of us would have that same level of compassion toward a convicted criminal? These examples could go on and on and on. The point is this: Jesus treated all people with respect and dignity. Jesus did not show favoritism. We need to follow the example of Jesus in treating all people with respect and dignity, regardless of their station or place in life. Do not show favoritism. Jesus didn't put people into categories. We should not put people into categories. Let's turn now to the primary example of favoritism that is addressed by James here in chapter 2. Let's read together, beginning at verse number 2. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet." First of all, I don't think James is saying this actually happened in the church. It's a hypothetical. It's one example of an overall attitude. I think it's important when we read the Bible to focus on the principle and not the example or the illustration. In the situation here, if we focus on the example, we'll walk away thinking that the main thing that James wants to tell us is that we shouldn't give preferential treatment to rich people in our assembly. I think James would be disappointed if he thought that that's what we got from these verses. What James is really trying to teach us is the principle of our attitude, our overall treatment of people that are different from us. That's the principle that runs through this whole section of scriptures. James may have focused on the poor man. He may have focused on the seating of the that poor man. But the spiritual truth that God wants us to glean from all of this is that favoritism is wrong, whether it's favoritism for the rich or favoritism for any other group of people. Again, it's a very important principle as we read the Bible. Look for the main idea and not just get focused on the example. How we seat poor people in our churches is just one example of how we mistreat people. Many other examples could be offered as well. Let's strive to learn the biblical principle of any given passage of the Bible rather than just focus on that specific example and limit our application of the Bible to just those examples. It's an interesting example. And it actually does have a connection with the seating arrangements that is found in the ancient world. In ancient synagogues, and also in the earliest churches, which were modeled after the Jewish synagogue, there were really not seats for everyone who came into the assembly. It's very different today. Today, most churches have plenty of seats for everybody. The whole main auditorium is filled with pews or filled with chairs. I think today the idea is filling those seats as opposed to giving preferential treatment in those seats. In this image, you see that the ancient synagogue had just a few seats around the edge of the room, or maybe just seats up in the front. Most people who came into the synagogue, they did stand, or they sat together on the floor. And those few seats that were available were saved for special people. Maybe it was for the leaders of the synagogue, or maybe people who were special guests or visitors. Not everyone could sit. Remember, Jesus often condemned the Pharisees for desiring to be given a special seat when they visited the synagogue. See, the Pharisees, they thought they were so important. They couldn't just stand with the common people or sit on the floor. When they came to an assembly, they expected to be given one of the few seats in the room. Let's think about our passage now. What is actually wrong in the situation that James is describing here in the opening verses of chapter 2? What's the problem that James sees? Well, it's not really being given a special seat. Even though there were limited seats in the main assembly room, it was a common practice to give one of those seats to anybody who visited. Any guest that you had could sit down on one of those things. In fact, the same is true today when it comes to churches today. Today it's more about parking. We have special visitors parking right there close to the entrance. Sometimes we have greeters out there that will make sure that if someone parks in visitors' parking, they feel very welcome. Regular folks, they kind of park further away and they can get in the building themselves. So it is not wrong to give a little bit of special treatment to those people coming in. So it's not just the seating. What about the clothes they're wearing? Is that the problem? What people are wearing when they come into church? It says here in James, one was wearing nice, fine clothes, gold rings, and the other was wearing shabby clothes. Is it what was being worn to church that was the problem here? Well, you know, the truth is some people do have issues with what people wear to church. Some people get a little upset if people don't dress up for church. But I don't think that was the issue here. In fact, the truth be told, we should be just pleased that people are coming to church and not worry so much about what they're wearing. The fact that some people had fine clothes and other people had shabby clothes, I don't think that was the problem that James was describing or pointing out. What was the problem? Well, the problem was this. It was the fact that a distinction was made between the finely clothed rich people and the shabbily clothed poor people, and that the rich people were being treated better than the poor. The rich man was given a special seat. The poor man was told to go find himself his own place to sit down. The rich person was greeted in the spirit of, "We're so glad you're here. Good to see you. Come sit in this special place where we have all of our visitors sit." The poor person was greeted with the spirit of, "You didn't even care to dress up. Well, why don't you just go stand over there? Or go sit on the floor over there. Remember, God doesn't show favoritism. God doesn't make the kinds of distinctions between people that we sometimes make. And when we make those distinctions, we're not acting like God. Instead, let's see what James says about such behavior. Verse number 4. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? When we give the rich preferential treatment over the poor, or we give preferential treatment to any group over another, we are discriminating among ourselves. We're saying that one person is better than another person. And how can we make such distinctions? Well, we make those distinctions by setting ourselves up as judges over others. We take on the role of a judge. That's the problem. That's the problem. James says that you have become judges with evil thoughts. Let's not focus on that phrase, evil thoughts. Let's focus on the fact that we have set ourselves up as judges. That's the problem. That's the problem. When you show favoritism in any form, you have set yourself up as a judge over others. The Bible says that only God can legitimately play the role of judge over all people. We cannot. This principle comes out very clearly in a passage of Paul from Romans chapter 14. In this passage, Paul is talking about differences within the church. You know that everybody in the church doesn't agree about everything. You understand that, yes? Apparently, some of the believers in the church of Rome didn't understand that. They felt that true religious people would not eat certain foods, while other believers felt no such dietary issues or issues at all. They were like non-issues. And so Paul is speaking about this difference within the church, and this is what Paul writes. Romans chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. God has accepted him. And then listen to verse 4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. The thought here is that all people, all of us, are servants of God, and God alone is the master and judge of all of us. When we judge, we are usurping from God his role as judge over all people. We're judging another man's servant. Same principle applies to the rich man and the poor man, or any other group that we are trying to compare. Remember, all favoritism is wrong. Since when are we able to judge whether or not a rich man is better than a poor man? Since when are we able to evaluate the merit of the or the worth of one man over another? Only God. Only God is able to do that, because only God is the creator and master and judge of all men. We ourselves come under the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all equal before God. When we set ourselves up as a judge over other men, we're playing God. I wonder what God thinks when we start usurping His role as a judge. Well, James tells us there in verse 4, you have become judges with evil thoughts. Do not show favoritism. Do not take on the role of judge over other people. Let God be God, and let us all be servants, and let us all be equal before Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your great love for every single one of us. We thank You that You hold no person or people group over another, but that You extend Your judgment and Your mercy to every single one of us. Father, keep us from this evil of favoritism. Help us to see all people as created in Your image, as true and precious to You. Father, we thank You for giving to us the mercy that You have. Help us to give that same mercy to others. Keep us from this evil of favoritism. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.